Coming to you from the ancestral territory of the Anishinaabe and the area inhabited by the Haudenosaunee and the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, this is Earth Matters. I'm your host, Lawson Hunter. Earth Matters examines the impacts we have on the environment and the natural world around us, seeking solutions, reporting on news and events, presenting positive alternatives, and highlighting the steps others are taking. We hope to inspire you to join the many others who are working to preserve and protect a healthy planet. Buildings generate nearly 40% of annual global GHG emissions. Approximately two-thirds of the building area that exists today will still exist in 2050. The question for many in the building and design fields is, what can be done to reduce the footprint of multi-level buildings? One solution that is slowly taking root, pardon the pun, is mass timber construction. Advances in mass timber construction have allowed for taller wood buildings of six stories or more. In North America, some jurisdictions regulate buildings constructed with engineered beams and interiors to 12 stories, others only six. To find out more about mass timber buildings and tall wood construction, Earth Matters spoke with Kevin McKinley, President and CEO of the Canadian Wood Council. The Canadian Wood Council represents the Canadian wood products industry through a national federation of associations. The mission of the council is to expand market access and increase demand for Canadian wood products through excellence in codes, standards, regulations, and education. After that, we speak with Dr. Ann Coven, Director of the Mass Timber Institute. The Mass Timber Institute is a public-private collaboration focused on research and development, as well as specialized teaching and training regarding mass timber wood buildings and the use of advanced wood products.
We have two big pillars in CWC. One is the codes and standards side. So we are the experts that collect and connect with the industry experts on ensuring that the National Building Code understands and uses the best technologies of wood, the best developments in wood to advance Canadian construction. We also develop standards that support the technical aspects of the code through the standards organization in Canada, CSA. So there's a lot of technology advancements in the science of wood construction that the Canadian Wood Council supports. The other pillar is that we also have people in the field in our Woodworks program across all of the provinces that are working to work with specific construction projects. So they're working with the engineers, the architects, and the developers to educate them on how wood can be used to support their new construction demands, that they're looking for more a new type of construction, a new sophisticated construction. Wood is being turned to quite a bit. It's also being looked to as a sustainable choice, as a renewable resource. So we give them access to all of the technical information that they would need to make a decision related to the wood construction, mass timber being the latest opportunities and options for architects and engineers, giving them all of the resources that they would need to make a decision related to construction projects.
All right. I want to jump right into the mass timber because that's the thing that sort of, you know, has bubbled up in the last little while. Can you explain what mass timber is? Explain how mass timber works.
Well, mass timber has a number of advantages. It's taking structural lumber and improving its dimensional stability and fire performance and applicability in a building. It's basically taking a lot of lumber, bringing it together, either gluing them together or nailing them, nail laminated lumber, or sometimes dowels are used in other types of situations. But they bring these normal lumber together. Then if it's laminated, it's cross-laminated, they'll take another row of the same lumber and put it on top of that and make it a sandwich. And so they'll have many sandwiches of these rows of of 2x4s, for example, and that is a cross-laminated timber, as an example, which is one very common type of mass timber. We also have glue-laminated lumber, which, you know, again, advancing for other parts of the building. And so these types of new products are give you more consistency in terms of structural performance, new safety in terms of fire performance. So it's giving the architect, the engineer, beautiful new opportunities to span important parts of buildings and use it as a, you know, replacement for traditional materials, which is exciting for them, because this is now you're seeing an important revolution in that kind of that kind of construction.
You know, I'm thinking back, any historical building that you go into, it might have brick on the outside, but it's wood beams on the inside. And then we've kind of got away to all concrete and steel. So what's driving this development back to mass timber?
I think, well, exactly. We have a history of timber construction where we've taken, you know, large logs and cut them to large timber pieces and used them to make our buildings in the past. It's not necessarily as economical now to do that. When the market saw new opportunities in concrete and steel, and really, I think economics drove a lot of that, we took full advantage in the construction industry. So, and that's great. But what's coming back, I think, especially, is they're realizing, and then last number of years, it's also been realized because of those features you mentioned. Of course, in low rise and residential, wood construction has been part of the stud walls and the 2x4 construction that we have and the stick frame construction that we have and those types of buildings. The new feature right now is the mass timber aspect, which is becoming an important, strong structural component of taller buildings. And that's what's really driving a new perception of wood. So that's probably been the biggest impetus, and the inclusion of the things like cross-laminated timber and mass timber in the National Building Code and the specification of that for when you're building even taller buildings up to 12 stories is what's being described in the 2020 code, is giving up, you know, a vouch for the safety and the suitability of this kind of construction that wasn't there before. So the codes have evolved to incorporate this new technology, which is giving new opportunities for the developers, our engineers and architects.
Is there a limit to how tall a tall wood building can be?
The 2020 code, the way it works in Canada, we have a national building code that is developed on a five-year cycle. And the latest version of that code, it's out for public review right now, but it includes the ability to construct up to 12 stories. And that will be out next year. We've already have two provinces, BC and Alberta, that because the code is just written as a model code for the country. And then each province has that ability to adopt the code in their province and make it the provincial building code. And BC, which has a very strong wood culture, wood construction culture, and Alberta, looking for new industry opportunities, sees that adopting that 2020 code as soon as possible is something that they're doing in those jurisdictions. And the other jurisdictions are looking at, Ontario's looking at it as well. They're going to see to update their own provincial code. So 12 stories as of starting as early as next year in BC and Alberta, and hopefully as soon as possible in the other provinces as well.
Now, some people might think 12 stories, that's not very tall, but my understanding is that a lot of new construction will be that mid-tower, the mid-size building, and wood sounds like a great alternative.
It is, yeah, it is. The mid-rise buildings, you can get up to six stories with mid-rise residential buildings, and you're getting, you're using sometimes the classical, stick frame construction, but then also bringing in mass timber as well. And it's giving a new aesthetic appeal for this type of construction for people that they haven't had. You know, the other interesting part of this is the feeling people have when they're inside wood buildings. You know, there's a research that talks about the well-being that you have when you're in a wood building. It's higher than in other types of material buildings. You have a sense of well-being that isn't as high and in others. And so that's biophilia, they call that. It really is a feature that a lot of architects are pushing for. So you'll see it in mid-rise. You'll see it in taller buildings as well. The going up to 12 stories, it's not too high, but you can also go higher if you get special approval. That alternative solutions. Sometimes you'll have developers working with the code authority saying, well, we'd like to go higher. And you're seeing some project going on like that. You saw Brock Commons, for example, in the University of British Columbia is up to 18 stories, with 17 of them being cross-laminated timber on a concrete foundation and concrete stairwells. And so it's a hybrid building, but they were able to build higher because of special approvals with the BC authority. So you can do that as well. So 12 is the by-the-code limit. But some developers are pushing further and working with the code authorities in their province to go even higher. They just find that the appeal is great. Sometimes it's more expensive. Sometimes it's about the same price. It's interesting because the mass timber approach as well involves a lot of prefabrication. So a lot of the components are constructed off-site and just lifted on the site and placed in, so it reduces drastically the on-site construction time. And they're trying to, improve that all the time so that they can capitalize on the savings that come from that kind of construction approach.
Kind of a modular approach.
Very much a modular approach. It's where we're going in this industry. A lot of the new construction is seen as more cost-efficient if you can fabricate a lot in a manufacturing facility and then assemble it with just a few people on site. And it's extremely precise. So the thing is, they were off site using fully integrated production through what they call BIM, and in your construction processes that they know exactly where every piece goes, when it's to go, and they have machined perfectly in the warehouse. In the manufacturing facility, what they need, they put it in place, they fasten it, and it fits perfectly, which has been the experience of a lot of people, versus on-site construction, pouring of concrete, or even the building of walls on-site. It's a little less precise, and there's a lot of rework that's required, of course, a lot of labor on-site. So it changes the construction paradigm quite a bit. And in an interesting way that can sometimes be very cost efficient for developers and constructors.
What does this mean for the forestry industry? Is this a new lease on life or a new avenue for them to promote their products?
Well, the forestry industry has always been a sustainable provider of lumber to the construction industry. It's from a volume standpoint, it's new. It's not yet a big volume area in the mass timber. It will be, though. It will be in the future, and it's going to change the profile of construction in Canada and the lumber industry's supply of that. I think it's very exciting for them. I think what it means as well is they're providing lumber to the secondary manufacturers, who are the ones who take all of their product, their 2x4s, and bring them together as mass timber. There's great opportunities with them. So we're seeing the development of a new sector across Canada in that secondary manufacturing in the production of mass timber. So it's exciting. It's exciting for the lumber producers. It's exciting for the new players. It's also showing, further benefits of the investment they've made and the jobs that they're supporting in the mills. So it's providing a new avenue, as you say, for potentially new work in this whole industry in the future.
Where does Canada fit in the international scene? Are we ahead, behind, or somewhere in the middle?
I'd like to be further ahead. I think we are well positioned certainly from a forestry standpoint. We're in a very good place because we have a very well managed forest in Canada. Forest Products Association of Canada is a great supporter of that and works with the industry to to really use the best practices. We have one of the highest proportions in the world of certified sustainably managed forests. So that bodes well for us. The construction culture, though, in Canada is evolving. I would say in BC, it's pretty close to world leading in that particular province. They're really, really thinking about wood as part of the construction culture there, similar to, for example, in some Scandinavian countries and similar to other places in the world. The rest of Canada, it's happening. It's happening slowly. We see some really important new projects happening in Ontario, which is really our biggest opportunity for a construction market in Canada. And, you know, you're seeing that with George Brown, a new 18-story mass timber project that's due for development in 2021. We see it with Sidewalk Labs, with a, you know, really ambitious project in the waterfront in Toronto, using many, many mass timber buildings that, you know, we're working with them to support their ideas that they're bringing forward to the city of Toronto.
Now, obviously, you're working with standards, you're working with governments and their regulations and market development, you mentioned. What about any other stakeholder support?
Oh, we do have a lot of resources. We do have a magazine, Wood Design Magazine, that we promote and publish in North America. As well, another area of outreach that's been so important has been working with the academic community across Canada. We've launched just recently the Wood Smart initiative, looking to support the accredited engineering and architectural schools across Canada to improve and insert some wood design competencies. I mean, I'm an engineer, and I'm mechanical, mind you, not structural, a civil engineer, but I know that the exposure to wood design and wood construction culture was really minimal in university. And that's one of the things that needs to improve. We have some really areas, important areas of excellence across Canada, but it's really, I'd say, from a balance perspective, underrepresented. And so that's what we're trying to work. The government's helping us to, you know, get this kind of education curriculum introduced in universities, and working with the universities and colleges to see what kind of content that they need, and developing those courses and helping them be part of their curriculum.
Kevin, if people want to find out more about the Canadian Wood Council, where do they need to go?
Absolutely. Well, you can go to our website, cwc.ca. We have all of the information you need there, including information about our Woodworks program. A great resource, and links to a lot of the tools, books, and projects that I described a bit today. So cwc.ca.
All right. Thank you for joining us.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
Institute is about 18 months old, and the purpose behind the Institute at that point and the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry was sort of a part of helping get the Institute up and running. And the view was really at that time, and I think still pertains, is that mass timber is an extremely exciting part of the forest industry. The idea behind a virtual institute is that we believe partnerships and networks are much more mobile now than they were in the past. We believe that having people in a building under the same roof isn't always the most efficient way to introduce innovation. We believe that we need a network of academic and business partners that are able to be nimble, are able to make decisions quickly, are able to obtain information quickly. So we believe the old ways of operating don't really pertain anymore when we talk about networks. So our partnerships, and you're correct, we are located within the University of Toronto, within the Daniels Faculty of Architecture, Landscape, and Design, and that we started out in the Faculty of Forestry, but forestry has transferred into Daniels, and there's a lot of excitement about that. We don't know any other forestry school in Canada or in the U.S., actually, where we have forestry, architecture, landscape, and design part of the same multidisciplinary body.
Who are some of your other partners?
Some of our other partners are Lakehead University. Matthew Leach does wonderful work in the wood science program. Sam Salem at Lakehead in Thunder Bay does great fire research. We have partners at the University of Ottawa. Gaston Dudak is a civil engineer and also has a research focus on mass timber. We have a partnership with Laurentian University. Randall Kober is a master architect at Laurentian and has been a very big help in bringing to Canada information. He lives part-time in Austria, so he has been an excellent a communicator. Certainly in Canada, some outstanding research has been done by FPI, Forest Products Innovation, which is the main research body associated with the forest industry, and Natural Resources Canada, and also by the National Research Council, which has done great work in seismic and fire research. But I think the question that we're puzzling over right now is, in order to accelerate mass timber production and use in Ontario, how do we find out what the end users want? And that is the consumers of mass timber, which are not the academics or researchers. The consumers are the architects, designers, engineers, developers, and builders.
Right. Okay. What is the reaction of architects when they're used to studying on how to build towers out of concrete or cement, and you say, why don't you make a 12-story building out of wood? What's their reaction to that?
I think they would say our clients are interested in sustainability. Sustainability is not the purview of a small group anymore in society. Business is interested in sustainability. Architects, designers, and engineers are interested in making sustainable buildings. And as a greener material, mass timber is seen as really helping achieve a more sustainable content to the building. And again, mass timber is about a hybrid input into construction. And so we're not in any way intending to put concrete or steel out of business. The idea is to add more wood to building. And specifically, our interest is in mass timber. But of course, all kinds of wood products going into construction is we think of huge benefit environmentally. Mm-hmm. And certainly there are lots of examples of wonderful mass timber buildings going up, and we have on our website a map of those buildings in Canada and North America. And I think there is also a map on the Canadian Wood Council network showing where these buildings are located. And we're very excited in Toronto. In fact, I was just at the Shoppers Drug Mart at Yonge Street and Charles the other day. And that is a simply gorgeous mass timber building that is intended to be a showcase for Shoppers, one of their flagship stores, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's a heritage building, and inside they have some very impressive mass timber beams and structures. So in that sense, when we start to see mass timber in our everyday lives, in stores, retail, and in office buildings, I think it becomes much more of a reality and one that we begin to appreciate. At the University of Toronto, and also our partners, George Brown, we have two very exciting mass timber projects underway. At U of T, we have a 14-story academic tower that will be built over an existing structure just at Bloor Street in St. George. And it's going to be, we think, a tremendous demonstration model, not only for the student, but for all of Toronto to see how this very environmentally beneficial and beautiful building is constructed with this new building material. And down on the waterfront, George Brown College intends to build the Arbor, which is also a magnificent 10-story mass timber building, which will have the same effect that you can see from the water and from the lakeshore and the Gardiner, this really incredible building, I think, that will really be worth a million words with respect to showing the kind of new work that we can do in Canada. And again, because we are a forest nation, we would argue very strongly that when there is a new sector in forestry and mass timber is a new industry within the forest industry, that it's a shame if Canada can't be in a leadership role. And to date, we haven't been.
I notice on your website you've got links to conferences and events, contacts and connections, mm-hmm. and various different consultants' reports. Mm-hmm. Again, can you expand a bit more on what those are and why you provide those things?
We provide access to information about mass timber, both from the published literature, mm-hmm. which is expanding, and there's a very nice, a very informative sort of virtual library by Forestry in BC, FII, Forestry in Innovation Investment. And they are also trying to do the same thing. And here is our situation. We have students at the University of Toronto in engineering, and less so in architecture, but in engineering certainly, and mostly in architecture, who never put their hands on a piece of wood, and they don't receive any instruction in wood education. And so we feel in our as we get the institute up and running, reaching out to students and providing easy access to research and knowledge and information about mass timber might inspire some of them to pursue careers in mass timber. But certainly we believe there is a need to have some repositories of this information so that we can sort of go forward with a Google resource, if you will, for mass timber, and we see ourselves as one of the partners in that.
Lawson Hunter here, host and producer of Earth Matters. I wanted to thank all the listeners of Earth Matters for your continuing support. As always, please feel free to send us your comments, suggestions, and thoughts on topics and people we should look at for future programs. Email us at earthmatters@newsandcomment.com. News and comment.com.